Chapter 4. A Rat. After lunch, Holmes sat with his tapering fingers together, staring into space. Then he turned to me.
I don't know quite what to do, Watson. I should value your advice. Let me explain.
Pray do so. Let us presume that what young James said was true. In what respect? About two things in particular. One I mentioned earlier, that his father called Cooey before seeing him. The other was McCarthy's dying words about a rat. What of this Cooey, then? It could not have been meant for his son. As far as McCarthy knew, his son was in Bristol. The Cooey was meant to call a person he was meeting. But Cooey is an Australian greeting, hence he was expecting to meet someone from Australia. I nodded. And the rat? Holmes took out a folded paper from his pocket. This is a map of the colony of Victoria in Australia. I had it sent over this morning. He put his hand over part of the map. What do you read? Arat, I said. And now, he raised his hand, I could see the whole word, Ballarat. Quite so. That was the word that McCarthy spoke. His son heard the last part only. He was trying to say the name of his murderer. So-and-so of Ballarat. That's wonderful. It's obvious. Now, you see, I have narrowed down the field. A tall Australian who is at home in the district. At home enough to find his way through the back of the estate. His height you deduced from the length of his stride, and his boots, but what about his lameness? The mark of his right foot was always less clear than his left. He put less weight on it. Why? Because he limped. But his left-handedness? You noticed the injury as reported at the inquest? A blow struck from behind, yet from the left side? Surely a left-handed man. He stood behind the tree during the argument between James and his father. He even smoked there. I found the ash of a cigar. As you know, I am an expert on tobacco ash.
I then discovered the cigar stump in the moss where he had thrown it.
And the cigar holder?
The cigar had not been in his mouth, therefore he had used a holder.
The tip had been cut off, not bitten. It was not a clean cut, so I deduced a blunt penknife. I see where this all points. The murderer must be... Mr. John Turner, cried a voice. It was the hotel waiter opening the door. He showed a visitor into the room. The man who entered was a strange and impressive figure. He had a slow, limping step, but his craggy face and huge arms and legs gave an impression of strength of body and character. His face was white and his lips tinged with blue. As a doctor, I could see that he was a very ill man.
"Pray, take a seat," said Holmes.
"You got my note?"
"The lodgekeeper brought it. You said you wished to see me here to avoid scandal. I thought people would talk if I came to the hall."
"And why did you wish to see me?" the man asked wearily.
"I know all about McCarthy," said Holmes.
The old man sunk his face into his hands. "God help me," he cried. "But I would have spoken out. I would not have let that young man come to harm."
"I'm glad to hear it," said Holmes gravely.
"I would have spoken of it already, but my dear daughter, it will break her heart when she sees me arrested."
"It may not come to that," said Holmes.
"What?"
"I am no police officer. Your daughter invited me here, and I am acting in her interests. Young McCarthy must be got off, however."
"I am a dying man," said Turner. "The doctor says I have but a month. Yet I would sooner die under my own roof than in a jail.
Just tell us the truth while I jot down the facts. You will sign it with Watson as witness. If the case goes against young McCarthy, I shall use your confession. You may be assured I shall not use it unless it is absolutely needed."
"It's as well. said the old man. I doubt I shall live until the trial. But I would still like to spare Alice the shock. I will tell you all. It will not take long.